In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You may be seated. Christ must be in us before he can be on us. Divine grace, as bestowed upon us through our baptism and chrismation, places Christ within us, enables us to put on Christ without. You see, Christ must be present in the heart before he can be present in a life of holiness. As the great expositor Charles Spurgeon once said, "If you need light from a lantern, the first order of business is to light the candle inside it, and then, as a consequence, the light shines through to be seen by men. When Christ is formed within you, the hope of glory, do not conceal your love to him, but put him on in your conduct as the glory of your hope. As you have Christ within you as your Savior, the secret of your inner life, so put on Christ to be the beauty of your daily life." End quote. And if I may add to those words, if you receive the precious body and blood of Christ as your food, which nourishes you on the inside, so then put on Christ as your garment to cover the outer man. Therefore, and rightly so, St. Paul tells us in this morning's epistle to the Ephesians to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. Who is this new man? Who is Paul telling us to put on? Anybody? Christ. He says so very exactly in the 13th chapter of his epistle to the Romans. "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And Paul carries that similar tune in today's epistle as he says, and I paraphrase, "Put on the new man. Put away lying, be angry, and sin not." You see, in both passages, to the Romans and here to the Ephesians, Paul reminds us to renounce the sinful lusts and vices of the flesh, which we as children of Adam have inherited, by accepting the truths of the gospel, from which we shall derive holiness in our relations with God, and justice in our dealings with our neighbor. And we accomplish this by putting on the new man. Put on the new man. You know, we've all been invited to and gone to a wedding, haven't we? And when you're invited, what's one of the first things that goes through your mind after you accept the invitation? What are you going to wear? You know, my mother-in-law, Paula, is getting ready to go to a wedding in just a few weeks in upstate New York. And as my wife, Danielle, will attest, her mother hardly ever buys new clothes. She clings to her old and often worn-out garments. But you know what she did? She went out and bought herself a new, and for her, a quite stunning fitted dress to wear for the occasion. Something totally out of character for her. And why? Because weddings are festive occasions. Because you change your clothes to match the joy of the moment. You dress up to show that you care, that you approve of the blessed event, that you share in the joy and love that the bride and groom have for one another. And because wearing anything less than your best, being caught wearing squalid garments, would mar such a festive and merry event. That is why you adorn your best clothes at a wedding. And in the same vein, as this morning's gospel affirms, that is why you put on Christ, because he is the very best garment you have to pull out of your wardrobe as you awake every morning, as you embark daily on this journey through life. For we must treat every day as if we are going to attend that illustrious banquet in heaven, lest we are caught off guard without it. We risk being discovered and cast into the outer darkness, where, as this morning's gospel says, there shall be immense weeping and sorrow, anger and gnashing of teeth. But ultimately, that is where sin puts us, isn't it? It leads us to such destinations. How often do we commit one tiny sin, and before we know it, that sin snowballs into something much greater and more terrible, until we find ourselves in an almost suffocating and inescapable position. All because we have failed to put on and cling to the garment of Jesus Christ. For while he is our best and most radiant garment, he is also a shield against the onslaughts of sin and vice. As blessed St. Patrick has said, he is our breastplate. Jesus Christ is the only garment that matters, the only garment of consequence in a world marred by sin and death. He is the garment of our salvation, and we must put him on if we are to have any chance of surviving an unforgiving and cruel world. But what does it mean to put on the new man? Well, firstly, it begins with a state of mind. And perhaps the best place for that to start is at the sacrament of penance, a clean slate for us sinners. And as we say the words to our Father Confessor, "For these and all other sins which I cannot now remember, I am very sorry. I will try to do better." And it's right there, within the prayer of the penitent, that I'd like us to concentrate on. I will try to do better. You see, the first step towards putting on Christ is being intentional towards rebuking the sins of the former self so that the new man can be put on. Without a humble and contrite confession, we have no hope of being able to put on Christ. My friends, it simply will not work, because sin cannot dwell within Christ. He is impervious to it. So the first step is being intentional. Firmly intend to put on Christ. The next step is living a life of prayer. Prayer fosters how we go about our daily life. As St. Moses the Black has said, our prayer life has to match the life we actually live. If we aren't praying throughout the day, we aren't living the gospel. And if we aren't living the gospel, we are failing to abide by its truths. And if we aren't abiding by its truths, then the garment of salvation is going to be slipping off our shoulders. And it won't be long before it hits the ground and left behind. So it's imperative for us that the second step is being committed to a life of prayer. And lastly, we are to live a life worthy of bearing fruit. Our lives must be fruitful. We must produce, and trust me, we will produce much good fruit if we are living out the gospel and adorn ourselves with the garment of Jesus Christ. As Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 8, "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit." And he says again just a few verses later in verse 16 of the same chapter, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should endure." You see, what Christ is alluding to is the fruit that we produce by way of our faith is eternal. That fruit never perishes, but remains. And how can we, sinful vessels that we are, ever aspire to produce such eternal fruit? We put on Jesus Christ. That's how. We are committed to Him. We pray often, and in so doing, we begin to produce a fruit worthy of our Lord. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is a very wonderful and incredibly humble expression. It is most condescending for our Lord's part to allow such an exhortation, but still, He ordains it. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, "Take up the Lord Jesus Christ and bear Him with you," but "Put on the new man." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus wear Him as the garment of your life. A man takes up his staff for a journey or a sword for battle, but he lays these down again after a while. But you are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ as you put on your garments, and as such, He is to cover you and become part and parcel of your outward appearance, surrounding your very self as a visible part of your manifest personality in Christ Jesus. Put on the new man and leave the old one behind. Put on Christ and adorn Him as your salvation for the whole world to see, a garment, the only garment that will last unto the ages of ages. Amen.